See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse!
There's a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I'm also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us this time is returning to the show, Catherine Horan.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No. Oh, there they are.
There we go. Yeah, our audience is a little slow on the clapping. Yeah. Joe, this is Catherine has now been with us. This is her third time. I think this is the first guest we've had on three times.
Yes, if we don't count Mark.
That's right. Well, Mark was a long-term guest assignment, I guess. He just kept coming back. I don't know.
You remember that time that Mark wanted to jump in ahead of you and introduce the show?
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty much the last time he was on the show, maybe.
Yeah, and that's probably what got him kicked off the show.
Yeah, so. That's right.
Well, thank you so much for having me back again. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming back.
Yeah, thank you for coming back and joining us. I don't know.
What's sure to be a fun-filled episode.
I don't know, Joe.
You're really setting the bar high right off the bat. You're setting the tone.
I had an idea, and I can't think of it. So, Joe, tell us, what did you watch recently?
Okay. I watched Thunderbolts in the theater, which has nothing to do with horror, but I have successfully now seen all 36 of the Marvel movies, and it was the best Marvel movie I've seen since Endgame.
Oh, wow.
I haven't seen one since Endgame, I don't think.
Well, you're not missing anything. This was fairly decent. I wasn't upset with the fact that I paid money to see it in the theater. So I will leave it at that, since it just opened up last weekend. One of the other things that I saw, which again, sorry, also has nothing to do to horror, but for some reason I had an itching to see this, 1983 Bad Boys. Have you ever seen that?
Is that? No, 1983? No.
Yep. With Sean Penn.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did see
Ally Sheedy and S.I. Morales and Clancy Brown.
Yeah, I remember.
You may remember from the Shawshank Redemption as one of the inmate guards or something. Even Alan Ruck is in this, who is Cameron Frye from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I have seen a part of this movie 100 times where Sean Penn is in this boys reform school prison thing, and he's getting picked on by Clancy Brown and one of the other like tough bully inmate guys. And he ends up, he kind of knows he's going to be attacked. And so he goes over to the vending machine. They're allowed money and they can go get cans of soda, and he gets like 4 cans of soda and goes back to his bunk, and he puts the soda cans in his pillowcase. And then as Clancy Brown walks in to try to attack him, he turns around and just beats the daylights out of him with a pillowcase full of soda cans.
Right,
and you can imagine the more that gets shaken up, the harder that's going to be. But anyway, I've just seen that part like 100 times and I always thought it was cool. So now I finally actually sat down and watched the entire thing. I recommend this. This was a great movie.
Yeah. I saw it a long time ago, but yeah.
Yeah. A very young, almost full frontal-ish type of Ally Sheedy is in this, which, you know, again, all recommendation. Great film if you can find it. So I highly recommend that. But just to save my credibility, I did watch a horror film today, and a new one, and it's on Shudder. Have either of you stumbled upon Friwaka yet today?
No.
It is a Irish folk horror film.
Hmm. Oh, fun.
And, oh, I love those.
And you know what a huge fan of Irish folk horror I am.
Yeah.
This is follows a student of nursing who is this woman's trying to get some money. She's a kind of a nursing student. She gets assigned this old lady who's kind of a recluse, agoraphobe, will not leave the house. And the woman appears to be haunted. She swears that on her wedding day, she was abducted and the entire town hates her. I gotta tell you, I had no expectations of liking this. I gave it 4.5 stars out of 5.
Nice.
This was tremendous.
So you were being sarcastic when you said, you know what,
I probably shouldn't have said that. I like some folk horror, but it's not my typical thing that I like. You know,
it was impossible to tell that you were joking about that. Well, I was like, oh yeah, okay.
I'm a very good actor. Just the imagery in this thing and the acting is very weird and bizarre. But, you know, normally I like Evil Dead Rise. I want to see somebody ripped in half. I want to see blood and guts everywhere. This is not that. This is just spooky and eerie. Matt, you're going to absolutely fucking love this.
Nice.
So you need to watch this.
All right. And what's it? Say that title again.
It's Frewaka. Frewaka. I will let you know the whole film is spoken in Irish. Not Gaelic, Irish. So you will need subtitles for this.
Frewaka. All right. On Shudder. This is a new movie, right?
2025. Just came out like April 20 something.
Oh, wow.
This year. So if you go to Shudder and you go to like that featured section, it's like the first card that pops up.
Nice. Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Yes.
Yeah. You'll love it. You'll thank me.
Excellent.
You'll call me up and say, "Hey, Joe, I want to thank you for telling me about Frewaka because I really loved it." I also gave it 4.5 stars. Yeah. You know, like we normally do.
Yeah.
So excellent. That's it. That's all my extracurricular activities.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Catherine, have you watched anything new or anything recently?
Got a couple things. I'm so behind on so many things. Mm-hmm. We just started Black Mirror, which the new season is out. So I've watched the first episode of that.
Is it good?
It was good. At least the first one was good.
Is this the Star Trek one?
No.
Okay.
This is the first episode. It's about this married couple and the wife has a brain tumor and it's inoperable. And so they essentially kind of download her consciousness and, you know, they're able to kind of reboot her. But now she's got to subscribe to this service that essentially keeps her alive and they keep trying to get her to upgrade. Oh, now we've got, you know, the plus version. Oh, now you can upgrade to this version. And yeah.
True to life.
It's yeah. Yes. But that's how they go.
A friend of mine asked who just saw like one episode of Black Mirror is like, is every one of these depressing?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Most of them.
It's not all, feel good show.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. So watch that. I watched a movie that's new out on Shudder called Dead Male.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that one.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was okay.
Yeah. I started watching it and turned it off. So I'm glad somebody can validate my opinion.
Yeah, you didn't miss much. It was okay. Yeah. And I don't even know how to summarize it in a way that is short and sweet.
It's just,
a bloody letter arrives at the post office, but they don't know. They can't figure out who it's supposed to go to. So it goes to the dead letter office and the guy does some research and, you know, essentially, some guy got kidnapped who's creating a synthesizer. I don't know. It's convoluted.
Yeah.
it was okay.
Shudder originals are hit and miss. But when they miss, they miss big. When they hit, man, do they hit.
They're
well.
Really good. Yeah. And then it's not horror related per se, but it connects to the last episode that you guys did. I have completed the Lars von Trier Depression Trilogy.
Oh, okay.
I had for another podcast I listened to. They're doing a season of uncomfortable movies. So it's not They're not horror movies, but they're more movies that make you feel uncomfortable for
whatever reason. That's a pretty good idea, actually, yeah.
So got Nymphomaniac Part 1 and 2 watching that. So.
Were they good?
They actually really were. I love the movie until the end. The ending, I was like, it made me angry. But
I think Lars von Trier needs to mail you a medallion or something.
Yeah.
You have to write in, see if we can find you that address.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So that Melancholia and Antichrist, right?
Yes.
Those are the three. Yeah.
So
Willem Dafoe.
Catherine was at a store here in Burbank and came upon. Did you watch it yet?
I haven't watched it yet, but look what I found at the store over here.
Yeah, it's Beauty Queen Butcher, which was a movie I did a very, very long time ago, and it is very campy. I'll be curious to see what you think of it.
We went in, we were just looking around. It was just there. I wasn't even looking for it. It was just right there on the
top.
Hilarious. I was like, oh my God, this is the movie.
That's hilarious.
So I had to buy it.
I believe we discussed that on our very first episode.
Yeah, we might have. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I know it's come up in conversation at least a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
a masterpiece. For anyone else.
When I checked it out, the guy checking me out was like, oh, you've got good taste.
Oh, that's hilarious.
For anyone else that's interested, this movie is available for purchase and digital download on Amazon Prime. You can get a DVD for $9.99.
And you could see a very young, I think, 22-year-old Matt Speak. I think I was about 22 when I did that.
And young Tammy Pascatelli.
Tammy Pascatelli, the comedian who she tours all over the place. She's got a nice career. She is funny. Yeah. Working with her, I would never have thought you're going to be a comedian, but she took some comedy classes, I think, and just started doing it. That's just the way she was, though. Like, she just had ideas, and she was just like, I'm going to do this, you know? So, yeah, but yeah, Tammy Pescatelli is in that. Yeah. Hilarious.
Sales are going to go through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you. I can't believe you found that, Catherine.
Though. I know, right?
I know. And how much did they charge for it? It was like $10 too.
I think it was
$10.
Yeah. $10.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'm surprised it was actually $10 and not you buy three movies, you get one of these or something. Or in the cutout bin, the $1.99 or something.
Yeah. Well, and the cover of it it's that actress that's on the cover. She's not in the movie. It's
photography.
Yeah. It's
is it really?
Yeah, when they finally got a distribution deal on it for DVD, whoever was the distributor, they put that cover together to try and sell it, because the original cover, was very different. I don't really remember what it was. Yeah, I mean,
the cover's
this cover,
pretty neat.
Yeah, no, yeah. It fits. It looks campy. You know, you don't want
like a Carrie ripoff or something.
Yeah, yeah, it makes me want to buy it and watch it.
Yeah,
he did a good job.
I mean, it is like a Carrie. I don't know. It's more of like a spoof of Carrie, I guess. Yeah, kind of. So
I look forward to watching that.
Yeah. There's a lot of comedy in it.
Five cuts.
Oh,
yeah.
It's truer words have never been spoken.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, I guess the only thing I watched this week is I highly recommend this movie, and I saw Sinners. We saw that at the theater this last weekend, and this thing is fantastic. Unless we have a really unbelievable year this year, it's going to be top five for me.
That's what I've been hearing from a lot of people.
Yeah. If it had come out last year, it would probably be top three. I really, really, really loved it. And it's not at all what I was expecting. I didn't know too much about it. I did know it had involved vampires and that Michael B. Jordan plays twins. But that's all I really knew about it. And that it was set in Prohibition era United States. So I didn't have much to go on, but this thing is fantastic. And I guess I can kind of give a little summary. Basically, Michael B. Jordan and his, he himself as twins, he plays these twins who had been involved in working with kind of the mob, I guess, in Chicago. But they moved back to Mississippi, where they're from. I think it was Mississippi. And they are going to open a juke joint, which is like a roadhouse kind of thing, and have music there and stuff. And so they open this place, and they have a little cousin who's a really good blues guitarist, and they have this old guy who's like a good pianist and singer, and they want to, entertain people. But there's this lore that somebody who's really great at playing excellent blues and music has the ability to draw spirits into the place where they're playing. If you play really pure, wonderful music, the spirits will be attracted to it. And so I don't want to say too much, but there are some scenes involving music, bringing spirits into this thing that literally took my breath away. Like, there's one scene in particular I was... it was so beautifully done. It was breathtaking. And then there is another scene very similar. And so what they wind up doing is they draw all these spirits there, but also it attracts these vampires who are in the area. And the vampires are sort of, one of them is Irish. And so they also have their own thing going on there that with some music, and there's some back and forth between the blues and this Irish music. It's just so fantastic. If you're into music, you're going to love this movie, especially if you have an appreciation for old time Southern blues. You're really Delta blues. You're going to just love this movie. The music throughout, the incidental music throughout, is fantastic. The music in the music scenes in the bar, and then outside with the vampires, unbelievable too. It's really great. And then it kind of becomes like a vampire siege sort of situation, but it's all done really, really well. So, and it's all shot on film. I know he shot it on IMAX as well, IMAX film as well. So I guess the bigger the screen you can see this on, the better. And it does look beautiful. It just looks terrific. So, and fantastic performance by Michael B. Jordan and really everybody involved. So this one I highly recommend. I think people, I've heard nothing but good things about it going, forward. And I didn't get to see it its opening weekend. And last week, people I work with were coming up to me and said, did you see Sinners? And everybody wanted to talk to me about it. I was like, no, I hadn't had a chance to see it yet. And so this week we've been catching up. And I think, if you've heard good things, everything you've heard is true. So definitely check this one out.
I heard it's the prequel to the 1986 Ralph Macchio classic Crossroads with Jamie Gertz.
No,
that's not true, right?
No,
Steve it's not. Vai.
Yeah. Steve Vai playing the devil. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, classic film. Beaten by classical guitar, Steve Vai.
Yeah, good job.
Ralph right. Macchio can do everything.
I know. So, yeah, that is everything I saw this week. And I guess the only other... Yeah, I don't think there's anything. No shows are on. Oh, I guess no. The Last of Us.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I haven't watched the newest episode, but yeah. So, but that's it. Really, there's not a lot of shows out right now that we're watching. So, although I do recommend The Studio, especially if you're into movies, The Studio on Apple TV Plus is really, really good. So I do recommend checking that one out.
I've seen the first two.
Yeah, it's really good. Really
second good. One was hilarious.
Yeah, it they're all hilarious. They all, he just gets himself in all these situations, but yeah, it's great. So yeah. And they have actual directors and actual people playing themselves in it. It's great. So all right, well, that brings us to my pick of the week, and that is Unreliable Narrators, which I've got my Unreliable Narrator shirt on.
Before we get too much further, we've successfully gone through 121 episodes and have yet to achieve absolute perfection, where we've had three picks that have been absolute golden gems. So, Matt, my hat off to you for picking three absolute bangers.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
For the first time.
I mean, it was sort of obvious. You know what I mean? Like, these are all already established movies, so it was kind of a, you know,
it was kind of easy. For once, it didn't seem like homework. Yeah. Like, I liked watching these.
Yeah. No, I did too. Yes. Yeah.
I echo what Joe was saying. When I found out the list, I was like, this is going to be a good one. Because he's all
did Catherine
fantastic.
Get the updated list?
I hope
so. Yes. Yes. Because I let her. Yeah. No, I let her know that A Tale of Two Sisters wasn't available. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And good thing, or else we might not have had a perfect list.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And all three of these movies, I think, are good movies. I do think two of them are better the first time you see them and aren't you know quite as good the second time, because so much of what builds them up is the reveal. Mm-hmm. But the third one I think still kind of stands the test of time, really. I mean, all three of them do, but it's not the same experience, you know. So let's start off with American Psycho from, what year was this? 2000. Actually, 2000. Jesus, I didn't realize it was that long
25
ago.
Years old.
Wow. That's crazy. And apparently they're putting together a new version. They're going to be doing it, which I think this is a kind of movie that I think would be ripe for a new version, because I think that this one, you know, there are things that they could do differently, and the book is very different from the movie in many ways, so it would be interesting to see one that is a little more it'll be more brutal if they stay too true to the book, because the book is pretty graphic, but it'll be interesting to see what they do. And I know Patrick Schwarzenegger is campaigning to play the part of Patrick Bateman, so
I think he'd be excellent.
Yeah, no, I think so too. If he could, you know, I haven't seen his range. He certainly looks and acts like that, but in terms of being the crazy part of it, it'd be interesting, because Christian Bale had the crazy part of this guy down.
I'm surprised Jared Leto himself isn't campaigning to take over Patrick Bateman's part.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's kind of his thing, where he injects himself into a franchise and ruins it.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, he was already in the franchise, Joe, so, you know.
I know, but, yeah, so he's got his foot in the door, and let's see what he does with Tron.
Yeah. So, American Psycho, directed by Mary Harron, from 2000. I think my mask of insanity is about to slip. Wealthy New York – that's not me saying that. That's the tagline, Joe. A wealthy New York investment banking executive hides his alternate psychopathic ego from his coworkers and friends as he escalates deeper into his illogical, gratuitous fantasies. So, this is a crazy, crazy movie for sure. And Christian Bale gives an absolutely unhinged performance, and his scenes where he is talking about the music they're just so freaking crazy and goofy and hilarious. It'd be interesting to see a different take on this one that is you know, goes to a different place, but he's absolutely unhinged. I believe this is the first time I really was aware of him, right? He hadn't done much before. I mean, he had done that Stevens
Newsies,
and he had, and he did that Steven Spielberg Empire of the Sun when he was a kid, but. Like The Prestige and all of those movies, Batman, obviously, and all those movies all came out after. He was in Thor, Love and Thunder. I guess I never saw that movie, but.
Yes.
Who was he in that?
I think he was like a cameo as
Is it Batman?
They usually put on a, no, they like as one of the, they were putting on a play about Thor and the gods. And I think he was one of the actors in the play.
Oh,
I see. Matt Damon had a cameo doing that too, as Loki in a previous one.
Well, anyway, let's start off with you, Joe. What are your thoughts on American Psycho? And this is one, I kind of prefaced all of this with the fact that I've seen this a couple times now, but this time it really struck me like, I don't know if I need to watch this anymore. Like it kind of feels like, oh, and if you haven't seen these movies, you might want to watch them and then listen to this, because I do feel like have to go into spoiler. These movies have all been out for plenty of time. They're
25 years.
They're not hidden gems. They're big budget, big movies.
We're ruining everything.
So we are going to spoil these. So if you don't want to have it spoiled, then turn this off. But having seen this time, I kind of felt like it's not a rewatchable movie, just because so much of the movie is dependent on its reveal at the end, you know. I mean, I don't want to say it's not rewatchable, but your enjoyment of it kind of descends as it kind of get, what do they call that? Diminished returns, mm-hmm. I think, as you watch it more. But Joe, what are your thoughts?
He was in Swing Kids after Newsies. He was also in Little Women. Mm-hmm. He did the voice of Thomas in Pocahontas. I don't know these things. I'm just shuffling through his IMDb page. I'm not that smart. He's done a couple things since then. Anyway, actually, Ewan McGregor was up for this part until Christian Bale talked him out of it.
Really?
Yeah. I also found out that one little tidbit that I thought was weird, how you were talking about how he really obsesses over the music of that time and how he describes it, goes into great detail. What's the one song he didn't do that for? Or I should say, what's the one song he did it for, but they didn't play the song?
I don't know.
Whitney Houston's Greatest Love of All.
Oh.
I thought that was weird. I'm like, you played Hip to Be Square. You played everything else that you talked about, but why not that? And then I found out, or at least this isn't a definitive answer, but the biggest expense of this film was buying the rights to all the music.
Yep.
So that's probably a big contributor to it. I think out of these three movies, this is my least favorite, but that's not a slam. That's like, you know, my least favorite child. actually, that's not even a good comparison, but
your kids, if they're watching this, are like, yes. Hey, now wait a minute.
Yeah. Only because the ending leaves you wanting more. There's no closure.
It's like your least favorite kind of pizza. If I was to say pepperoni, sausage, or cheese, you'd probably not say cheese is your favorite, but if somebody handed you a slice of cheese, you're not going to.
This is my cheese pizza.
Right.
Yeah. There you go.
We'll get to the sausage and pepperoni later. Good analogy.
There you go.
I think I've seen this 3-4 times. I like it. I agree. It's got diminishing return. This one, not so much, because there is no big reveal.
I guess that's true. But.
Except that
everything he did it actually happen, you know?
Well, so I was thinking a lot about that. If he really killed Paul Allen.
Yeah.
Then, or if he didn't actually kill Paul Allen, then why is Willem Dafoe interrogating him?
Yeah.
So he had to have done something.
Yeah. I do think some of that was a little confusing in a way that didn't quite make sense for me, but
I kind of wish they would have leaned heavier one way or the other and actually, you know, like reveal at the end that it was all in his head.
Right.
Yeah. But you're kind of just left guessing.
It was a little ambiguous.
Maybe, maybe this was real. Maybe this wasn't real. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure. Although I will say, for an investigator, Willem Dafoe is a big chatty Cathy. He really divulges an awful lot of insider information about his ongoing investigation to a potential subject.
Right. Yeah.
Or suspect, sorry.
I did read the book a long time ago, and I kind of need to revisit that because I don't remember now, you know, there were a lot of big differences between the two, and they had to chop a lot down, obviously, to make this movie. I kind of feel like that book would make a better, like, maybe mini series or something, you know, that you could really delve into a lot of the stuff. And it had
Go ahead, sorry.
Well, it had a lot more to do with not just him being a serial killer, but also just society at the time and the greed of these guys and their obsessions. You know, they touched some on that, but it was way more about that. And then the killing scenes and the stuff he was doing to the women, especially, were way more graphic in the book. Very graphic. So if they're making a movie, a remake of this that is truer to the book, it's going to be pretty damn brutal.
I do want to point out my absolute favorite scene in this entire film. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but the whole hip to be square.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And if you've never seen the Weird Al Yankovic parody of that scene where he plays Paul Allen, and they got actual Huey Lewis to play Bateman.
Oh, really?
And kills him in his apartment. Yeah. It's hilarious. I'm sure I gotta, you can find it on YouTube. Yeah. Mm. Plus, this is where I've also gotten my favorite excuse. Like, when somebody wants me to do something and I don't want to, I will just always tell them, I'm sorry, I can't. I have to go return some videotapes.
Yeah.
It's the perfect excuse.
It is. Yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah. That's a good line.
So, that's about it. I think it's just up to everyone's own personal interpretation of this film about how much of this stuff actually happened to this guy, or maybe none of it did, but, you know, choose your own adventure.
Yeah. So, Catherine, what are your thoughts on American Psycho?
Well, I like to think that he did do all of these things because I think that's a nice kind of comment on the society and this culture of, nobody cares. He's a rich white guy. He can do whatever he wants.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. It's, yeah.
Carries so through like, to today.
Exactly. Yeah. Not much has changed.
Yeah, nothing's changed. Yeah.
So I do like that. Yeah. I also loved his excuse that he has a meeting with Cliff Huxtable.
I noticed that too. That was hilarious.
Just especially in the time period, just dropping that name, you think, oh, wait a minute. And then just... a comment on kind of his mental state. I made a note kind of early in the film. He mentions that he has this job, which is basically nothing. He just sits around all day and draws and doodles and compares business cards. He has this job because he wants to fit in. So clearly trying to, you know, hide whatever tendencies, trying to feel like he's a normal person, you know, even though inside he's, you know, wanting to go and do all these horrible, nasty things. But yeah, I enjoy this movie. I mean, I've seen it a couple times. I love the soundtrack. I love listening to him, you know, pick apart and do deep dives on these songs that you're just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like Sussudio and stuff like that. It's right. Just great. So,
yeah. Sussudio.
It's entertaining. And Christian Bale is fantastic.
I just, because you brought it up, I do have to comment, as being someone who used to be a lot heavier into the print industry, I do admire that whole scene where they're pulling out their business cards. I loved when, back in that era, when like your business card meant so much. I mean, now it's got stupid QR codes and they're just color copies and nobody cares about the paper stock or thermography or Ray's Lennon, none of that stuff matters anymore, and it should. It was so cool back then, but now if you want to get that stuff done, it's like thousands of dollars now to print 500 business cards right way.
Yeah,
we do that too. I'm in the voiceover industry, and back in the day you'd have your demo reel or a cassette tape in a box, and it was all about the artwork on the box.
Yes.
And now it's just all electronic. You just email an
packaging
MP3
used to be
it.
Everything.
No, now it's all gone to shit, Joe.
Yeah, hell in a handbasket.
Yep. These kids, these kids.
Damn kids.
I don't know what they're doing.
Back in my day, we used to have printed business cards.
That's right.
That's just V-card crap.
And we got jealous of each other's cards.
Right?
Uphill both ways.
Yeah. None of this
AI.
Yeah. IA.
All right. Well, that brings us to our next movie, which is from 2010, and that is Shutter Island, starring, this is directed by Martin Scorsese. Can't get any better than that. And starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Emily Mortimer, and Mark Ruffalo.
Keep going. There's just a cavalcade. Well, there of is. Talent.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Max von Sydow, Michelle Williams, yeah. Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patricia Clarkson, Jackie Earl Haley.
Yeah.
Ted Levine.
Yeah.
John Carroll Lynch. Buffalo
Bill. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, Buffalo Bill. John Carroll Lynch, who plays, he's done a lot of character stuff, but he played Twisty the Clown in American Horror Story season 2, I think, season 3. It was the circus one or carnival or I don't remember what it was, what they called it, but Freak Show maybe.
Freak Show.
Yeah, Freak Show.
Yeah.
And who else? And then a lot of people that you may recognize from other things, but it's got a great cast. Two U.S. Marshals are sent to a mental institution on an inhospitable island in order to investigate the disappearance of a patient. And this one, I think, is definitely less rewatchable just because it does have a major reveal that kind of makes everything that came before it. I don't want to say a waste of time because it's interesting the first time you watch it, but the second time you watch it, you're kind of like, oh, I got to get through a whole lot of this stuff that isn't actually even happening. It's interesting to watch it a second time to kind of catch on to things. But I do think this one suffers a little bit from that, but that it's so well done that it's, you know, still worth checking out. The title Shutter Island is an anagram, Joe, for Truths and Lies. By the way,
I did not know that.
Yeah. Mark Ruffalo got the part. He sent Martin Scorsese a letter saying how much he wanted to work with him. And that's why he got the part. I tried doing that and I wound up with a restraining order, Joe. Yeah.
Put it on a pile of the others.
Hold on. Sorry. let me try this again. I tried doing that and I wound up with a restraining order, Joe. There we go.
Put it on the pile with the others.
Oh, no.
Your Foley work is impeccable.
Yep, it is. There you go, Joe.
Mark. Mark's here.
Mark's here. I don't know what it is about that baby, but it's kind of cringy, but hilarious at the same time.
The only thing we're missing is I want you to get the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah.
From Food of the Gods.
Yeah.
Too.
Yep. I don't like you to get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
And of course, it is based on the book by Dennis Lehane called Shutter Island. And I did read the book before I saw the movie, and the movie is very, very similar to the book. The book isn't a real long one. And so it's very faithful. The only difference is the ending. The ending of the book is they changed the ending for the movie in terms, but only in that at the end, you get the sense that Leo DiCaprio is volunteering, like he's acting like he's crazy again so that he can be lobotomized, right? Because he kind of looks at Mark Ruffalo like, kind of almost gives him a wink and a nod. And so you get the sense that he is choosing to be lobotomized because he can't handle the grief that he's experiencing. And in the movie in the book, that's not what happens in the book.
So he's choosing to die as the good guy.
Right. Instead well, not die, but just I think he's still going to be alive, but he's going to be, you know, basically very agreeable.
He killed him. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but in the book, he really does relapse into
in the movie.
No, in the book. In the book, he really does relapse into being crazy again and trying to go back through the cycle. In the movie, he gives a look to Mark Ruffalo like, this is his choice. He's choosing to to be lobotomized.
Oh, I didn't get that at all.
I thought about that, but I wasn't sure if I was reading into that or not.
Okay. Yeah.
And when he says the line, is it better to live as a monster or die as the good guy? I was on the fence, but yeah. When they just start talking back and forth and no, Mark and he Ruffalo gave gives him Ruffalo, that nod.
Yeah, he kind of gave Ruffalo a look, like, and Ruffalo was like, let's see. Well, I guess that's all I've got. So, Catherine, what are your thoughts on Shutter Island?
Well, it was fun revisiting this. I saw it in the movie theater when it first came out, and I haven't seen it since then. I did remember what the twist was at the end, so it was kind of interesting knowing that, going through and watching. It's a beautiful movie. You know, I love all the costumes, the scenery, just all the shots are beautiful. Knowing kind of the outcome of this movie, I was kind of watching and listening for little hints from the beginning, and they really do kind of, you know, give it away right at the top when they're first meeting with Ben Kingsley. I think it was him I wrote down. The psychiatrist gives us the answer when we first meet him about creating a delusion. And I was like, aha. Yes.
Right. So, yeah. There are little hints like that. Yeah.
There are little hints throughout. So that was kind of fun to pick up on, you know, knowing what the outcome is. But yeah, other than that, I don't really have any notes. It was just fun to watch and, you know, just watch the story unfold and see what I remembered and how it all played out. So yeah, this is a fun one. And it was nice to watch it again.
Yeah. Joe, what are your thoughts?
I agree that these movies are very difficult to take notes with.
Right. 100%. Because
they're too good. You're wrapped up in them and you're just enjoying the ride. I, like Catherine, I didn't see it in the theater, but I think I saw it on rental or whatever when it came out and haven't seen it since then. I knew there was a twist. I knew he wasn't a marshal. However, that being said, I rented this and now I'm kicking myself that I didn't buy it, because this is where I will disagree with you. I want to go back and rewatch it and just to look for those things, even knowing what the twist is. I want to go back and try to identify them all, because the first one that really stuck out that bothered me is when they're interviewing that older lady in like a dining hall or whatever. She asks for a glass of water. Mark Ruffalo gets up and walks away, and she writes help. Actually, she writes help on the left page of his notebook, but when he reads it, it's on the right page. But anyway, they hand her a glass of water, and when she goes to drink it, she's miming the glass. There's nothing in her hand. And then when she goes to set it down, you see, like, they did a, like, it was done on purpose, because they focus in on the glass getting set down on the table and making a noise.
Yeah.
But I went back and I looked at it again. There's nothing in her hand. So there's one of those things. I it's like a fun little, you know, Where's Waldo type of movie where I would like to go back and rewatch it and look for all those little telltale
signs. I did read through the IMDb after I watched it. I think it did mention a few places like that where there are little clues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I, you know, obviously when they were discussing how an H-bomb works, that's an analogy of his life, his psyche. I also, think this is a very, at least the ending, it really reminds me of The Wizard of Oz. Like, you know, he wakes up out of this 2 year or 2 week, however long, nightmare that he's in, is like, Scarecrow, you were there too, and you were there, and I don't know how I missed some of these things the first time or the second, but it's a very fun, thrilling ride. This I have to admit, I actually had to sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and write down what the events were in chronological order, so that it would make sense in my head, starting all the way back when he was in Krakow.
Oh, okay.
Because where I was really confused is all the stuff with his wife and what the apartment, you know, when did the apartment take place and when did him buying this lake house take place? And
right.
I mean, I won't read it, but it was that in depth that I had to physically write it down for it to make sense to me.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But loved it.
Yeah.
Good it's movie. A romp.
Yeah, that's a fun
good movie.
It's like an episode of Three's Company.
Right?
Just confused.
Yeah, yeah. And last but not least, our movie is Identity from 2003, directed by James Mangold, starring, it's a pretty good cast too, John Cusack, Ray Liotta, Amanda Peet, who I didn't even know. I was like, wait a minute, I haven't seen Amanda Peet in a movie in a long time, probably since Saving Silverman or something like that. John Hawks, Alfred Molina, Clea DuVall, John C. McGinley, who I always think of Joe whenever I see him in a movie, because you're a big fan of Scrubs and he was on Scrubs.
Yeah.
William Lee Scott, Jake Busey, which was what's Busey? What's
Gary
his first
Busey.
Name? Gary Busey's kid, Pruitt Taylor Vince. We always love him. And
amazing.
Rebecca De Mornay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not realize that was Rebecca De Mornay.
I didn't either until this time because I was looking up the.
Because I looked
like,
it
oh
up.
My
yeah.
God, that's Rebecca De Mornay? It didn't look like it because she's got the red hair and everything. I'm so used to seeing her as a blonde.
Blonde.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. And of course, John Cusack is always fantastic in everything. So, Joe, what are your thoughts on? Oh, I guess I could read that. Stranded at a desolate Nevada motel during a nasty rainstorm, 10 strangers become acquainted with each other when they realize they're being killed off one by one. And I think this one did really work as a rewatch because I think some of these movies, the best ones, make you want to watch them again and check out what you missed before and are kind of enhanced by the ending that you have, sometimes it makes you feel like everything that came before was sort of a waste of time. But in this case, I don't think that's the case. So, and I really enjoyed it too. Michelle had watched it for the first time last night and she really liked it as well. So Joe, what are your thoughts on Identity?
One of my all-time favorite opening lines to any movie, as I was walking up the stairs, I met a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away. Somebody on the set claimed to have invented that, but that's actually a loose interpretation of a different poem by Hughes Mearns called Antigonish, I believe. Anyway, I've always thought that was the creepiest little poem.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I wish someone would just visualize that in like a 30-second cartoon or something.
Yeah.
I did not make the same mistake as I did with Shutter Island, and I purchased this and will gladly rewatch it a bajillion times. John Cusack again nails it. I love John Cusack films to begin with. John C. McGinley is also perfect in this film. It's so out of character for him to play. He seems like he's on the spectrum or very autistic or something. It's just, he's normally some big brutish jock or bully or something along those lines. So it's nice to see
or
him
funny.
Stretch. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The newlyweds are by far my least favorite characters in there, but Pruitt Taylor Vince is just so good.
Yeah.
And he's perfectly cast for this role. I love it when they're interrogating him at the end and his persona is flashing back and forth between himself and John Cusack. But when they get to Pruitt, his eyes, he's got the ability to make his eyeballs twitch back and forth real quick. And it's so eerie.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love it.
In fact, you never see him. I don't know. Does he always do that? Or is it just something he does?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because the brief amount of time that he was in Constantine as the alcoholic priest, his eyes do that in there too. So I don't know if that's like just him.
Just him.
But although I will say I saw it because when I went to the movies, apparently the thing at the movie theaters now is to play every trailer available before a movie starts. And I saw the, I saw the trailer for the new James Gunn's Superman, and apparently he's playing Mr. Kent, like Clark's dad.
Oh, really?
Dad.
Oh,
yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I wouldn't pick him for that. And
he does have an eye condition. It's called nystagmus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it works for him. He should not get that fixed.
Yeah.
Plus, I realize this is part of the plot, but the opening scene where John C. McGinley and his where his son is sitting in the car, and his wife gets out of the car as John C. McGinley's trying to fix the flat tire or whatever, and the mom and the son are kind of playing with each other, and the game where he kind of convinces his mom or tricks his mom, whatever, into taking one step backwards just to get hit by a car. I just think that first watch, I'm just like, oh my God, that's terrifying for that kid. That kid is going to grow up blaming himself the whole time. And then later on, he sees his own father also get run over and killed by a car.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, that's so terrible. But then you find out it was the kid's plotting it all to begin with.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, good on him, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what's going on. I know the whole storyline, but I'll have fun. I know I'll watch this a dozen more times.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love the rainy setting and everything. It's really good. Catherine, what are your thoughts on Identity?
Well, really quick, just one fun coincidence. In the movie, everyone's birthday is May 10th.
Right.
And that's going to be about when this episode comes out.
Oh. Yeah. April 9th is when it's coming out.
I thought that was pretty good
timing. Yeah, that's pretty good timing.
But yeah, this is another movie. I had seen it in the theater when it came out, but haven't seen it since. And I only remembered bits and pieces of it. I wasn't entirely sure what the twist was in this. But I had a feeling what it was from the beginning. Again, I kind of made notes of some of the clues that they dropped throughout. One of the things was they all have a Florida connection. They all have the same birthday.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, when you're listening to Alfred Molina listen to the tape, you hear the guy on the tape say, "Oh, you can call me whatever you want." They have a meeting when you get all the guys together to have a meeting about the prisoner that you don't know who it is yet. They mention they're having a meeting about his sanity. And then John Cusack mentions having a lot of blackouts and all of that stuff. I was like, I know what the twist is. But that was, again, it's fun to kind of rewatch. It's fun to pick up on these little clues when you know what's going on. Kind of fun to see how they drop them, when they drop them, and how they all fit together. So
yeah,
this was a fun one to watch again. Again, great, great cast. Lots of good actors in this. It was fun to see John Cusack. I haven't seen him in anything in a while.
Yeah, no, I know. I haven't seen him in anything in a while. I don't know what's.
I couldn't think of what the last. I mean, 2012 maybe was the last thing I could think of him.
Yeah,
doing,
let me. But... I got him here. Let's see, John Cusack. He's Fog of War is coming out. Yeah, he's been working. Detective Chinatown 1900.
Just nothing I've heard of.
Decoded.
Nothing good.
Yeah, no, he hasn't been anything.
Hot Tub Time Machine Part 2. Oh,
okay. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that he's been in. I mean, he's been working pretty consistently, just nothing that looks familiar.
Well, I did see that currently, he's touring around the nation showing what's the music one? High Fidelity.
Oh, that's fun.
That's
he's going around doing like Q's and A's, and then they're showing High Fidelity, and then there's a Q&A section afterwards.
That's probably my favorite John Cusack movie.
Gross Point Blank.
Yeah, I love that one too, but I think High Fidelity is my favorite of his. But yeah, I mean, he's got some good ones, especially back, you know.
Yeah.
Say Anything and Gross Point Blank, of course. Yep. Yeah.
Don't forget Stand By Me.
Stand By Me.
Was he in Stand By
Me? Was he in Stand By Me?
He was the older brother.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The Sure Thing was great.
One Crazy Summer. Better Off Dead.
Better Off, Better Off Dead.
Yeah, Better Off Dead. Yeah. He was in 16 Candles.
I love how 16 Candles is the geek.
Yeah, yeah, he's hilarious in that.
The Grifters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that was amazing. I celebrate that guy's whole catalog.
Yeah. Oh, he was in Con Air. That's right, he was in Con Air. Yeah. Yeah.
Being John Malkovich.
Right.
Yeah,
Serendipity.
Oh yeah, being John Malkovich. Yeah, yeah, that was a great movie. Serendipity. Yeah,
1408.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, that's right. Oh, 1408.
Actually,
we did. Okay.
When the Milan Cinemas in Milan, Illinois, closed down, I got to go running through there and grab anything that wasn't nailed down, and I found some old movie reels which are adorning my movie room right now. Cool. However, one of them has actual film on it, and it's the trailer for Serendipity.
Oh,
so that, funny.
That's always struck a chord with me.
Yeah. Interesting. Very cool. All right. Well, Joe has the next episode. So, Joe, what's your pick? What do you have planned for us?
I don't know. What do you guys want to watch?
Gross Point Blank.
I wish. For my 8,000th time. No, we're going to do a franchise. Kind of. We're doing Cloverfield.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to watch the original Cloverfield from 2008, which is available on, you can rent it on Prime, but you can also get it from Canopy or Hoopla if you're a library aficionado. Then we're going to watch 10 Cloverfield Lane. And that one is available on Amazon Prime and Fubo. And then lastly, we're going to watch The Cloverfield Paradox, which is available on Netflix.
I think that's the only one I haven't seen. Yeah,
me too.
I don't think I've seen that one. Yeah.
I've seen it, but I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah, I've never seen that. I really love 10 Cloverfield Lane. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe I picked this because the first one is found footage.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, it's different kind of, I guess, found footage, but yeah,
there's a giant monster.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then do we have a special guest next week?
I'm working on that, but it seems like all systems are go that we may have a very special guest from the Midnight Monster Club.
Nice.
Joining Excellent. Us as well.
Beautiful. So, well, yeah. Thank you, Catherine, for joining us again. And we do enjoy your presence always. And we will, we'll have to have you back. We're planning something big for our 5-year anniversary, or our 5-year anniversary, which is coming up in October.
Oh,
5 years of this.
That's crazy.
I know. Yeah. Crazy is right. So we started this in the midst of COVID.
Right?
Yeah. That's the kind of thing that happens when Joe and I get bored.
Yeah.
Shit hits the fan.
Good things can't come out of the pandemic.
What do you want to do? Let's start a podcast.
That's a dumb idea.
All right, let's do it anyway.
We're sitting around doing nothing? We can watch movies? Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
Twist my arm.
You guys have introduced us to a lot of really cool movies over 5 years. So
yeah, we've introduced really ourselves to a lot of good movies. Now people talk to me about horror movies now, and I'll spout it off like I know something. I'm like,
yeah,
wow.
Where
did that come from? Right. Or people ask me, you've got to see this movie. And I'm like, 90% of the time I've seen it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think on our 5-year anniversary, we shift gears and we watch only, I don't know, Westerns. Cause you know what? A big fan of that genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now Bone that Tomahawk.
I could hear yeah, Bone Tomahawk. I heard the sarcasm there. Yes, Joe. Yes. All right. Well, go to our website www.cinescarehorror.com and check out our merchandise, and I guess, you know, buy some stuff.
So eloquent.
I know.
Quite a salesman. Love your pitch.
That's why we sell so much merchandise.
Yeah. It's worked so well over the past 5 years.
I've got a Sinister shirt on right now. You
do? Oh, nice. Excellent. And I actually need a new shirt.
Mm-hmm. And Matt and I don't.
Oh, the Jaws one. There we go. Yeah.
Nice. It's a classic.
My camera's terrible.
I got to get it. I got to get some more stuff. So.
I think I have like 6 CineScare shirts.
I've got probably 3 or 4. I think I need more.
I just wore my solar panels shirt.
Solar panels. Yeah, I need to wear that again. Solar panels.
That to me, still just the fact that we made this podcast is nothing compared to the fact that Matt and I independently got each other the exact same t-shirt for Christmas.
Out of the bajillion
t-shirts that exist, that's just creepy. So.
When I ordered it, I thought it would be funny if Joe and I both got the same one for each other. We sure as hell did.
I swear to God, if that happens again this Christmas,
yeah,
then we're both getting divorced and we've marry
mind,
each other.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We have mind melted. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I guess that's the end of another episode. So we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Save the square.